Hey, welcome back to the Catholic Coaching Podcast. What are you interested in? We care to know. And we're going to be exploring interest today as one of the points of awareness and unique mission.
Yeah. And when was the last time somebody asked you that? And when was the last time you were actually interested in your own answer?
And honest with your own answer.
Yes. And gave yourself permission to actually have an interest that's outside of work and vocation and just for fun.
Yeah. The devil does not want us to be engaged with our life. A fully alive life is man's glory, or man's glory, no. But God's glory is man fully alive, right? And so fully alive life entails that you're engaged with your interests. So we want to help you explore those today and identify those things that are getting in the way of even exploring those things.
See you in there.
Stick around. Hey folks, welcome to the Catholic Coaching Podcast. My name is Matt.
And I am Erin.
We are the Ingolds, the founders of Metanoia Catholic, where we aim to make mindset coaching authentically Catholic and practical.
We just love to take all of these tools and techniques and share them with you on this podcast. We also train and coach other Catholic coaches.
Come on into the podcast.
Welcome back.
Hey, welcome back to the Catholic Coaching Podcast. My name is Matt.
And I'm Erin.
We are your hosts here today. Erin, what are you drinking?
Oh, coffee with frothed. Almond milk, and then a little bit of cinnamon.
There's a little dusting. A little dusting of cinnamon on top.
I keep like hoping that the froth doesn't come off on my mouth. So if it does, you're going to have to let me know.
I will let you know, maybe. Herbal tea I'm drinking here, for those that are interested. Little ginger, non-caffeinated. Yesterday, I got a double espresso latte.
After your normal cup of coffee?
After my normal cup of coffee. And it tasted excellent. And
went down smooth.
Bing! Like, for the rest of the day. And all of a sudden, I started to realize that, like, I need some quiet.
Interior quiet.
And like, mm-hmm. And it's not just interior quiet, like shut off the dings on your phones and stuff like, but like what I put into my body creates noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like too much caffeine, too much sugar.
That's been very true for me since doing this detox. What I put in my body creates noise and all sorts of things. So, but
that's
it's
another podcast.
Yes. Better out than in. So we're talking about the pillars, the unique mission pillar and the points of awareness that we have decided. And really.
Yes. The PUAs.
Yes.
Points of awareness.
PUAs. P-O-A.
The PUAs.
Yeah. So those we're breaking those down. Today we're talking about interests.
How interesting.
Yes.
Cool. Well, I love this one. And
me too.
Guys, one of our foundational workshops that we did with Metanoia Catholic is a unique call to sanctity workshop. It's the very first one that we ever did. I remember I delivered it at our virtual Catholic conference. And one of the things that I explored there was these areas of interest and starting getting into the stuff that like you're passionate about and the giftedness. And as we kind of evolved to have these separate pillars of unique design, which is like, who am I? And unique mm-hmm. mission, what is my purpose? Like, where do I direct all of who I am? Towards what end? Something that glorifies God, and then the unique battle, what gets in the way? We started to again see the importance here of identifying those things that we're interested in, how that ties back into our unique mission that God has designed us to fulfill.
Yes. Yeah. So I like how you were talking about passions, because in that workshop, we talk about passion, and passion is, it actually means something that you're willing to suffer for.
Yeah.
But many of us don't ever get to that place of understanding what we're passionate about because we don't allow ourselves to even look at our interests. Yes. We often judge our interests, but there is also that tool of the enemy. The enemy wants us to not be looking at our interests. And so we're going to kind of go through some of those lies that he throws out our way that seem very reasonable mm-hmm. and very rational, and just kind of sift through them, discern through them, and see where they lead us. And also, like, really what he wants us to do is just keep us from exploring these things from like a judgment-free place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is one of the other reasons why we chose this as a point of awareness. I guess we're standing on the presumption that God wants us to be interested in his plan for us, right? Yes. So like where we find these natural
we're
interests.
We're not puppets.
Yeah, where we find these natural interests, we actually have a desire to go, a passion. You know, he's designed us to really enjoy and find residence in the mission. But also people have different interests.
Yeah.
Like from interests are as diverse as people you find. And so when I say it all the time, like I can't understand why somebody would be interested in accounting. I can't get it. Like it's,
we're grateful.
We're so grateful. All right. Love writing that check.
Yeah.
But it's, but I just can't understand it. But people are interested in accounting. People are interested in being homeschool parents. Mm-hmm. We are not.
Yes.
People are interested in
that is true.
Owning a business. Like we are those people. Not everybody is. People are interested in becoming coaches. People are interested in learning more about the faith. People are interested in writing books and getting doctorates and pursuing these degrees that maybe they'll never make any money off of these things, or they won't have any sort of practical application, but they just desire to know more about these things, or to be surrounded by these things or stimulated by these things.
Yeah.
And we say that's fair game. Like we want to take a look at that. And I think that's important to just consider here as we're considering our unique mission.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's talk about what interests are. Actually, if you look up the definition of interest, it says the state of wanting to know or learn about something.
Mm-hmm.
So,
cool.
What is it? All right, interests are things that consistently captivate, things, topics, activities, stuff like that, that continually captivate our attention. Mm-hmm. They captivate our focus over time. They are areas where we have an appetite for more learning, or doing even, or a passion when we are engaging. We are drawn into them and effortlessly stay focused on them. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of this place where you're just easily brought into focus. Interests are like motivations, which we're going to get into more where we talk about motivations
in unique design.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Interests are like motivations in that they help us to naturally stay like sustain engaged. our focus. Yeah. But I would say it sustains our focus, and as a byproduct, our bodies move into action, which kind of that's that motivation, right?
Yep.
I also see my interests as a form of recreation and rejuvenation. Like where is it like that you like to play? Like if you could, I remember asking everybody on our team that, like, what parts of your work or your job feel like play to you? And it reveals what they're interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why did we pick this point of awareness?
I mean, I already hit it. Like, I think there's something unique and particular about people's interests. And again, the presumption here that God wants us to be engaged in his plan for our life. And so our natural areas of interest, which are very diverse, I think it's worth looking at those things because that's when we're living in an area of interest and we're engaging in interest, we're going to be engaged. And when we're engaged, we show up as our best selves. And we make our biggest impact.
Amen.
And we feel fully alive. Like that fully alive life that we talk about in our Metanoia Catholic Academy, like it's engaged, right?
Yeah.
And so interests were naturally engaged by God's design.
I think also like, I think a lot of people think they automatically, their interests don't come from God. Now, here's the thing. They could come from God. They might not. I don't know. But when we don't open that up as an option that they could be coming from God, then we don't discern them. We don't look at them and we don't really get anywhere with, you know, we don't utilize that sustainable energy that they provide for our life. And even what you're saying, like when people, even like as employers, like I want my employees to be interested in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I know that the productivity that we're going to get from them, and that they're going to feel alive and feel focused and interested in sustaining that focus.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. And yeah. I think wanting that for other people is a good desire.
Well, think about the classes even in school that you're most interested in.
Yes.
You know?
Like yeah.
That it's, those are probably the ones where it was easiest to get the grade that you're looking for. Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. So but yeah.
Also,
they move you into virtuous behavior. I think this too.
Like totally. Totally. Yes. So, this kind of gets us into our first lie, but we'll talk about this. But I also think when I'm a coach and I'm coaching somebody, there's a couple things I look for. I look for interests that have been around, like for most of your life, mm-hmm. that have kind of been consistent throughout your life, or at least in your adult life, we could say.
Sure.
I look to the ones obviously that are morally neutral, like, you know, there are a lot
I'm interested in porn. I'm interested in getting hammered this weekend.
But here's that's the thing, actually, because like when we start to fall into sinful behavior, those things can take the place of our natural God-given interests, because we're ignoring these interests over here and we're like, oh, this is just an easy fix over here.
Well, yeah, and when we're talking about like being interested in something that's objectively immoral, like it's never going to bring you to a deeper contemplation of God. Like there certainly is a core desire there that entices us to us that towards that thing that in this case, like towards that sin, there's some core desire that we think that that sinful activity is going to, you know, it's mm-hmm. going to alleviate or it's going to appeal to or satisfy, but it never does. But a good moral interest, when you engage in it, it has an upward spiral mm-hmm. to it. It's not there if properly understood. Now, we can engage indulgently in interests where it's just like, you just get tunnel focused on the creature mm-hmm. rather than understanding, you know, letting it really elevate you.
Truth, and, beauty, and goodness.
Yes. Like, contemplate like higher things.
What is true about this? What is good about this? What is beautiful about this?
Yeah.
Like, those are great questions to ask.
I know an area of interest for me personally is I've said it before, I nerd out on neuroscience. I didn't really know much about this until got home from Afghanistan, was going through my own combat trauma, wanting to understand that, reading up on these things, want to understand my Marines, seeing all the the dysfunction and fallout of trauma over in combat, and wanting to understand like what was going on behind the scenes. And the more I read into this, and while at the same time learning about theology of the body, I'm just in awe with the way that God has designed our bodies and our brains and our hormones and like everything going on physiologically inside of us. It's so incredibly ordered, and it speaks to such an ordered God, an ordered loving God. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of an interest of mine that I nerd out on. And it actually brings me to a place of contemplation, but it also has like a practical application with the mission that we have as a coach and as a, you know, Metanoia Catholic, our mission.
I've always been interested in, even when I was doing hair, where I probably should have been like looking at like hair magazines. I was interested in personal development. I've always been like this combination of spiritual warfare mm-hmm. and personal development. And like now look at what I'm doing, right? Like this mm-hmm. is actually, it was pointing towards a mission that God was calling me on. But I always kind of judge myself for the spiritual warfare. I was like, what am I doing like with all of this stuff? And once you discover that not everybody nerds out on that like you do, mm-hmm. you do feel a little insecure, like, oh, am I like being curious in areas that I shouldn't be? And I will say I always was held like a healthy level of discernment around mm-hmm. even just that. Yeah. But then the personal development too is like, where is this? Like this is like not allowed in the church, you know? So yeah. I had like a lot of shame about that.
Catholic? I remember I had a neighbor that came up and was just like, you do Catholic coaching? Can those two things coexist? And I was just like, I don't even understand that question, but I guess some people think that.
Yeah.
So like when you're not engaging your interests, I mean, there's definitely symptoms that show up. You're just not engaged in what you're doing. Like that's
you're
the first
bored.
Thing. You're bored with it.
You're unhappy with your job.
When you're
your
not
life.
Engaged, you just don't care. And when you don't care, you don't really show up, and you don't bring your gifts to an area that you're not interested in. It even kind of builds some resentment. Like I'm stuck here. I have to be here. Or even there's shaming that comes along. Where like I should be interested in this, and I'm not.
I was listening to a TED talk literally today about this, and the comment below it. It was like do what you love or whatever. I don't know what mm-hmm. the TED talk was, and the comment below it was like, I'm mad jealous of people who know what they want to do. I'm like, oh, girl, all you have to do is just like answer these questions,
or consider like a little bit.
Just like, what do you mean you don't know what you want to do? Like, You got to start somewhere. You got to like, what do you like? Yeah. what do you nerd out on?
Start with these points of awareness.
Yes.
The other thing is you find yourself asking other people, what should I do? Like, that's another symptom of this. Like this young girl, yeah. Like I'm jealous of people that don't know this. It's like, so I go outside. When we go outside to ask people what we should be interested in, it's kind of backwards, right? It really is something that
how would they know?
Exactly, right? They're going to tell you what they're interested in, and then it's going to be a should, and we'll get to that and how mm-hmm. that doesn't work. And then again, finally, what we see is people just start mimicking other people. And I think that this is helpful for a season. But if we're going to be following somebody's lead and kind of mirroring their life mm-hmm. out of the belief that we'll find some sort of satisfaction with it, then we got to be students of ourselves during that process. It's okay to kind of be under somebody's, you know, tutelage for a while and just, you know, but do it with discernment, always consulting. Okay. Like what's resonating with me and what's not resonating.
Yeah. I'd like to add one more. You have untapped sustainable fuel. Like you're not tapping into that fuel that really can like help you to create a great impact in the world.
Yeah. So benefits of really exploring your interests as points of awareness. One, you become more engaged in your life. Two, you become more interested in what you're doing and you become more interesting. Actually, interested people are interesting.
Yes.
And three, you actually become more interested in other people and like kind of curious about their interests, because when you start to, it's just a natural overflow, I find, of like when you're excited about what you're doing.
Totally.
You just want to share that and you get excited about what other people are doing mm-hmm. here as well. Okay. So what we're going to be going into here, the episode is just, you know, the meat of the episode, are what are the lies that are getting in the way of you exploring your interests? Okay. So maybe you can identify mm-hmm. with these or some sort of nuance of these, but we're going to be addressing the lie, which is the tactic of the enemy. Because again, if we start, the enemy does not want us living a fully alive life. All right, that's a life where we're actually making Christ's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and it draws us into that place of contemplation, a deeper relationship with the Lord. Okay, so he wants to frustrate us and keep us unengaged. Doing this with these lies, we'll address these lies, we'll address the truths and some ways that you can counterpunch some of these lies, and so you can get engaged with the truth. Ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it, okay.
Enemy strategy or lie number one is my interests are self-indulgent or selfish.
Yeah.
It's just like right out of the gate, they have to be. I see people do this with desires a lot, which makes me think of, it's like a cousin of, mm-hmm. of interests, right? Desires, like what is it that you want? People just automatically assume that like you're selfish because you're thinking about yourself and you're thinking about what you like, and like automatically you're just mm-hmm. going to bulldoze everybody else in your life because you're now a selfish person.
the other thing there too is like there's a presumption behind, and I think this is kind of a mindset of our high productive society. It's like everything you do has to be ordered towards some like tangible production objective. It's got to be monetized. You have to be able to it has to be justified with as worthwhile time, a worthwhile spend of your time, by some sort of like it's bringing X amount of dollars.
Yeah, or I've heard that right out of the gate. Whenever we've done something like this, like Unique mm-hmm. Call of Sanctity or any type of workshop where it's like, hey, what are you interested in? I immediately hear that thought. People go, yeah, but I can't make money doing this. It's like, okay, but like, whoa. You know, like that really escalated quickly. Like, let's not like go into finding a new career right mm-hmm. now, but like, let's just be like, where would you like to play? Like how would you like to spend your free time when you're not working?
Yeah. And I even want to address that. Like, I can't make money doing this. That's such a presumptive statement, right? And it's
so limited.
It's limited, but like mm-hmm. you have no idea. Like we immediately go to, I have to start a business. I like, you know, I don't know, collecting butterflies, right? It's like, oh, well, there's no market for like butterfly collectors or something like that. And it's just like, well, you know what? Like, what's to say? Why does it have to be you have to start your own business that has to be completely self-sustaining? Why can't it be like you get to be part of a club, or you get to, you know, go in and teach a class once in a while to a couple of kids?
It's like an example of jumping to conclusions, like where it's like, well, now I have to make a living out of this because I named one interest. Okay.
What if wonder was just your justification?
Yes,
I think this kind of gets into the truth here. It's like, interests really can go indulgent.
They can.
Mm-hmm. And they can lead to like an extreme selfishness, or they can draw us again, like we said before, into a deeper contemplation of higher things. And that really depends on our disposition, right?
Yeah.
How we're approaching these things. If we treat the interests as the ends, we're going to go indulgent on this. But if we treat it more as an icon, right, then it becomes really a prayerful contemplative window into greater wonder. And guys, there's some merit in wondering alone, like those things that engage our wonder alone.
Yeah. I also think too, like when you're saying like interests can go indulgent, they can go selfish, and then they can like, or they don't. Like, it's just, we have a reason. We have like this gift of reason that we can actually think through this and actually ask like some questions and be like, okay, is this, first of all, is this interest intrinsically immoral? Right? Sure. Like you were saying before, like, is it porn? Like, okay, well, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about drugs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. This is my interest, you know? So we can answer that question. Most of us know the answer to that question.
Sure. Yep.
But has this interest gone vicious in the past? Meaning I've kind of overused it. I've been charitable when I've been wanting to like live in this. Mm-hmm. I haven't been considering the people in my family, that kind of stuff. And just honestly, like take all the drama out of it. Just honestly answer yes or no. Has it done that?
Yeah. What are the fruits of engaging in this interest?
Yeah. It doesn't mean that your past has to be your future too, by the way. But also, has this interest ever led you to virtuous actions? Mm-hmm. And has it created impact for others or fruits for others? So we can answer these questions and answer them rationally. And like I said before, it doesn't mean that what has happened in the past has to be your future. You can make a decision now. How do I want to live? How do I want to live in response to this interest? Mm-hmm. What does temperance look like if you're overusing it? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So Aaron and I were like super engaged with the temperaments and learning about temperaments. It's a big part of what we do. And at Metanoia Catholic, we draw from that quite a bit, right? Mm-hmm. And so because we're so interested in it, we enjoy talking about it. We enjoy reading books on it. But if we're sitting down at the dinner table with our five-year-old and we're talking about melancholic and phlegmatic and all these things, and she doesn't understand these things, arguably that might be an overuse of that interest, right? We're indulging in it to a point where it's actually starting to cause some disharmony in our family. Our daughter feels left out of the conversation. And so our interests need to have temperance in their use, in their engagement here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And you will glorify God.
And you get to choose that. Yeah. Right. Like anything we get to choose. Like it's the things that we're interested in are some sort of created good, right?
Yep.
And every created good has its purpose, its end, and we use it virtuously, engage with it virtuously when it's in line with that end.
Yeah. I could say like I have been overindulgent in listening to talks on spiritual warfare, but also like on like political stuff. And I noticed an internal like a disquiet, you know, and I was just like, we just need to take it off. It doesn't mean we never are interested in it again, but like we just kind of temper when we listen to that stuff and when we don't.
Yeah. Notice the fruits.
Yeah.
Notice the fruits when you're engaging this area of interest, right? Is it bringing you up or is it bringing you down?
Yep.
Cool.
So there's like also other things, the counter strategy, be present with your interests. I feel like these kind of go into other things, but like challenge your judgments of them.
Yeah.
Like what if this isn't selfish? What if this isn't wrong? Also ask the Lord, what are you speaking to me through this interest?
Yeah. Make it a prayer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Invite the Lord into that. It makes a big difference.
Also I like this one that you said, identify those personal interests that are secret. Like the ones like what I was saying, it was kind of like hiding my personal development books from like all my Catholic friends. And then like which ones are kind of like you're keeping close to home. Those are interesting ones to explore. There's maybe some shame around them, and you know, you could even explore it like from a rational standpoint. Like, should there be shame around this? Like, what does the actual church say? Or, you know, like you can use a lot of those same questions.
Yeah, and sometimes there's like the shame is there because nobody else is really interested in that thing. And it's like, okay, yeah. This doesn't really seem to be something that I bring up or I share with other people because they're just not really interested in it. And so it's kind of like putting pearls before a swine, so to speak. But it's other people's interests have very little to do with what you're interested to be, which kind of brings us into our next lie here. Let's jump into that. Okay, so like the second enemy strategy is that other people have some sort of like
impact my interest.
On what you're, they get to weigh in on what your interests are. Okay, yeah. And it's like I don't know what I want to be interested. I don't know what I should be interested mm-hmm. in, and we can give this authority over to other people. And in some ways, I can see it, there's a time for it in the beginning where it's just like, hey, just like, especially when you're young and you're exploring, you don't even know these other experiences and you're just looking for somebody to give some wisdom, mm-hmm. right? But ultimately, it's not about adopting their interest, but rather it's about kind of entering into it and then being a student of the experience. I remember when I was at the Naval Academy, my father went there. He was a Navy pilot. And for the longest time, I wanted to be a Navy pilot. I thought that was going to be my path. And even my, you know, the girl I was dating at the time, she really wanted me to go the path of being a Navy pilot. We love the movie Top Gun. We watch that all the time. Like, who doesn't love Top Gun? Yeah. But it was, you know, and I liked the idea of being able to yuck it up with my dad and talk about pilot things. But guys, man, when I went to my first aviation cruise as a midshipman, just to kind of explore what it'd be like, I hated it. We went in this T-34 and it was flying upside down. I was strapped into this thing and I had this mask on and with like I could breathe, but I just felt so constricted in this thing. And then I was just like, I remember getting done with that thing, throwing up when I got to the bottom being like, okay, well, I guess I'll just get over that. I should be interested in this. I was totally denying the fact that I was miserable at this. And so I went to another one of these things a year later. And I remember just getting up in a helicopter and the same thing, floating around, like being like, I'm stuck in this thing. That's all I was thinking was, I am stuck in this vehicle. Right. I
That's can't probably get a good indicator if you're like, I'm stuck here.
This.
I'm not interested in this
mask and everything. Yeah. And I feel sick again. I hate this. And I remember when I finally gave myself permission to be somebody that just likes to have their feet on the ground. And love leadership too. Yeah. And when I started to kind of let go of, and not that my father ever imposed this interest on me.
But we can all do that. But we can all just assume.
Exactly.
It's in the blood or whatever. Like,
this is part of the legacy. This is what we do. Once I finally just let go of that should be interested in this, it made so much room for the things that I actually was interested in, and it really blazed a path. It revealed a path forward to, in this case, being a Marine and working with guys.
Yeah, I think there's like another color of this, another nuance of this is I shouldn't be focused or I shouldn't be interested in this. And similar to what we were talking about in the last one, it's kind of like, well, like, why, you know, is there like actual data like as to why you shouldn't be?
Yeah. That was something interesting too, Aaron. When we did the, I don't know if this is a good time for the compass. Throw it in here. This was interesting. You guys, I got together with a group of guys. I led a cohort. We call it our compass cohort. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we explore is what we call the called story. That's co-authored with God. And then there's the condemned story. And the condemned story is just where you feel like life is being sucked out of you. It's not necessarily your places of deep trauma. It's rather just like where you just don't feel alive or engaged.
Yeah.
And I was really interested to see that when men started to share their condemned stories, it had a very constant theme. The constant theme was they were living from a place of should. They were living what other people's, they were living up to somebody else's expectations and they just felt no life within that. I think there's something that's telling there and why interests are so important.
Yeah. Yeah. Also why unique design is so important too, because like,
100%.
Because like you hear Catholic men say, I should be the leader. I should be the head of my family. I should be the leader, protector, provider. And yeah, like I don't disagree with that actually. Like that's kind of what you're called to do as a man, but also your view of leadership is very different. Like it's going to look different on everyone. Mm-hmm. And so to consider, okay, maybe God gave you different unique gifts, unique strengths, unique weaknesses, so that you're going to show up in a certain way, leader, you know? So
I know my interest is in neuroscience and the personal development has certainly impacted the way that I dad.
Yes.
Right. That mm-hmm. I father Avila here. So, I mean, you could see how the interests, they pour over into all these other areas of life that like, I'm not getting paid to be a dad, mm-hmm. but it's still something that's certainly proper to living an excellent life,
yeah. right?
To be a good dad.
I think being a sanguine too, all my sanguines out there, hello, you guys are going to be like, I feel like I have too many interests. And so mine was more from another extreme. It wasn't like you should be interested in this. It'd be like, you shouldn't be interested in all of these things. Like mm-hmm. you're never going to focus, which like I said, there's some truth in that, but also yeah. like just it shuts down your interest box completely.
Yeah. I remember even when I was working at, I was working over at Benetech. My friends always say Initech, like yeah. office space, but no, it was just a payroll software we sold, and I was health benefits, stuff like that. But there was this whole, I remember getting sucked into this whole concept of human capital management. And at first I hated the phrase of it and like the name of it. But when I started to dig into what it was all about helping people in the workplace find opportunities to do what they do best. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, wow, this is so cool that you can have this relationship between employer and employee where the employer is giving the employee this opportunity to really step into the fullness of their gifts and really step into the things that bring meaning in their life and make a contribution to a greater mission and make some money and provide for the family in the long run. I mean, it just made so much sense. But that was another area that like I was not really interested in other areas of mm-hmm. HR, but that piece was something very interesting to me. And that certainly is something that's paved the way, I would say, for what we do at Metanoia Catholic, especially in the area of unique design, yeah. unique mission and battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you guys a couple questions to ask yourself, journal questions. These are some of my favorites. But first ask yourself, do I even really like this? Like Matt, like you were like, you talked about giving yourself permission to just like what you like.
I hate flying and airplanes.
As long yes. as it's not immoral, like what you like. There is a reason why you like that particular thing. Mm-hmm. And it's probably to be that part of the body of Christ, right? Like that's probably telling you where to go.
Yeah.
So do I even like this? And then also ask some questions like, what could I talk about for hours? Mm-hmm. What do I nerd out on? Mm-hmm. And what makes me forget to eat? Like when I'm like learning about it or doing it, what makes me forget to eat?
I love that what makes me forget to eat because it makes me think of the scripture where Christ is just witness to the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. And then the disciples all come back and they're like, hey, you know, we got some food, and he's just like, I've had like,
I just read that this morning.
I just had that's some okay. bread or something like
he's
that.
He's like, the food that I have is the will of God, which is like,
yeah,
so
like the word of God. Like it's
no,
like
the man, will of my Father, well, the one who's
the will
me.
Of my Father, right? And every man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And so when you think of your unique mission, it's really a unique word of God that you're making visible to yeah. the world. And so there's something that when you're engaged with that, you start to forget to eat because you are being so fed by it.
I would say it's another side of that too, because so often we have these counterfeit interests, but they're really numbing agents.
Okay.
Right. And so when it's like we forget to eat, or you could be like when we forget to scroll on social media, or we forget to drink, or we forget to watch porn or something, right? Like whatever these numbing agents are that you're going to when you're mm-hmm. forgetting about those things.
I get it.
First of all, we've uncovered your numbing agent, your counterfeit interest, but also it's like we're starting to find the solution
yeah.
to that.
This way, whenever I'm working with guys that have a struggle with pornography, we have to look at unique mission.
Like, oh my gosh, it's so huge.
We need to do something that engages the meaninglessness.
Yes.
Right? And addresses that and gets them engaged elsewhere. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So, awesome. I love how also, I just want to highlight here, Aaron, you had an interest that seemed indulgent mm-hmm. before we got married. You were like, I want to move to San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah. It did, but like, I didn't really struggle with that one. I finally gave myself permission to like want it.
And then, she met me and a week and a half
you.
Later.
Yes, I met you.
So you never know where your interests are, just kind of maybe it's just something that like the Lord's inviting you into for a short season, right? And you don't necessarily have to understand it, but it's like, I'm really interested in this. It's moral. It's good. I discern it. Lord's with me. Let's do it.
Yeah, give it some Trust. Room. Yeah. Like just water it a little bit. See what the fruits are.
I'm glad you engaged that interest.
Me too.
San Diego.
Me too.
All right. Enemy three. Final enemy line number three.
Final one. My interests are frivolous and unimportant. So this is kind of like the first one where it's like just that immediate judgment of like they're selfish. But this one's a little bit, I think, a little bit more insidious because it seems pretty benign.
Okay.
It seems like, you know. And then that's where that one where it's like, we'll never be able to make money doing this. Or it's like, oh, this is how I always know we're getting somewhere in a coaching call where somebody starts by saying this. It's silly and kind of small, but you know what I like? And I'm like, ooh, tell me. What? Like, what are you thinking is silly and small?
Mm-hmm.
And just lean into it. Get a little more curious about that. Or it's you're going into like, this is unholy too. Because it's not directly focused on God. But as we said, God can work with all different interests. Like the interest of me moving to San Diego and like wanting to live in California for some time in my life, like led me to my husband, to my vocation. So it wasn't directly focused on God. I definitely spoke to God throughout that process and prayed and listened to him. But like, nobody would say you moving to California in the middle of a recession, by the way, is directly focused on God. No.
Yes. And now whenever she sees me, she sees the cross.
What does that mean?
Oh, I am sanctifying you. That's what it means.
Oh, yeah. The old ball and chain.
Yeah. So like the silly kind of small. And I think there's even a little bit of a presumption here again. The presumption is that you've got the full story. Right.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So like you have no idea who else the Lord is going to bring into your life to kind of bring, you know, next level, whatever it is. And like the little thing that you were engaged with and you're interested in, suddenly it's just elevated or it unlocks a potential that wasn't available prior to engaging that interest. So when we start to explore these interests and we do it in a way that's moral and virtuous, guys, it starts to open up new potential to us.
Yep.
Right. That we wouldn't have had we never gone down that path. So
I think something that's interesting here too is, this is kind of a side note, but you could be talented in something, you could be gifted in something. We're going to get into that in another podcast coming up. But if there is no interest there, it kind of loses its impact. That was definitely me with doing hair. I was like, oh, this is what's making me money, right? I'm doing my job and I'm like talented in this area. But what I started to discover was the Lord was starting to speak to me and being like, why do you spend the most time with your clients? Why are you always talking to them about God? Like covertly talking to them about that. Like, why are you like sitting there and helping them longer than other people? And it was just kind of starting to open up this, like even just that little interest of being like, I'm going to go down this path because it's kind of easy, like doing hair. It's just, you feel like you're in like a sleepover, like your whole life, you know, like you're just at a sleepover braiding people's hair. So I was like, this is fun and easy and great. I get to connect with people. But the Lord started to reveal another interest. And I think of St. Peter too. St. Peter started as a fisherman, right? I don't know why he, you know, maybe it was family trade, whatever, like probably it was, but he got into that and he was interested in that. And then the Lord was like, I'll make you fishers of men.
Yeah. Yeah. Revealed his
fishers of men.
Yeah. Revealed his mission through his interests.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And so that is another reason why you might want to do that. But anyway, if we sit there and we go, oh, this is frivolous and unimportant, or it's not directly pointed towards God, we're really limiting God's ability to do that, to do the very thing that he did with St. Peter.
Yeah. And again, this gets into that whole, like, just there's value in wonder. There's value in just wondering alone. And the reason I say this is because there's something proper to what it means to be human by just wondering, contemplating. Like the highest form of prayer is contemplating. It doesn't mean that you're arriving at like this deep understanding, but you're entering into a deeper mystery. And often our interests have a way of drawing us into a mystery, which really I think is iconic to our relationship with God, right?
Oh,
how
totally.
Can we fully grasp the infinite? Well, we can't. We can enter into the mystery, and there's a knowledge that comes by entering into the mystery and just kind of letting go of the need for understanding or practical application or making money at something. I think, you know, Josh Miller's got his book Unrepeatable. Mm-hmm. And there's a story that sticks out in there from this guy, William Bennett, late 19th century, early 20th century. He was the first person to take pictures of snowflakes. He like begged his parents for this special microscope that he could hook a camera up to. And I mean, this is like the turn of the 20th century here, folks. Not everybody had microscopes or even knew what a microscope was, let alone a camera. And his mother finally told the father, like, hey, I think it'd just be good for him. But like, there was no they recognized that there was no practical, you know, reason why he should really engage with this. And you know what? He took all of these amazing photos. He finally like cracked the code on how to take these pictures, and he didn't really make money at it, guys. Like there was, I wish there was like there's a part of me that's just like, oh, and then he became world famous and traveled the world, and he's in all these books, and like his stuff is in some museums. He shared it with some other people that kind of that built upon, you know, what he was revealing, the science that he was coming to understand, but. At the end of the day, I think maybe he made like a couple thousand dollars, but nonetheless, he was just
doing what he loved
to do, and he was passionate about it. And you know, here he was in Vermont, you know, of all places, which is like, even geography has something to do with like where you are has something to do with your unique mission, right?
Yeah, I think that kind of leans on the idea when we're in the beginning, when we're talking about interests, it's like, even if it's just to rejuvenate you, even if it's just as a form of recreation, like there's a reason why God, I like looking at interest almost like how we look at desire and how at the core of our desire, we desire God. And at the same thing, at the core of our interest, we're interested in God. We're interested in learning and knowing more about God because our hearts are always pointed towards him. He created them, and he knows that that's the only fulfillment of that. And we can't love something that we don't know. We can't love someone that we don't know. And so this desire to want to know him more and want to know him more, it's like layered with these other interests on top of it. And sometimes we kind of, sometimes they need to be redeemed. Sometimes they need to be tempered through virtue, but it's a path. I love that statement that, it was Father Greg Pine said this. It was like talking about desire and discernment. And he said, the way God made you is the way he will save you. And in the same sense, like the way that God has made you to be interested in things is the same way that he will save you. And it's calling you on this mission.
Yeah. So in the same way that William Bennett, right, had this desire to photograph snowflakes before they melted, which was very difficult to do. And revealed the order that was present in the tiniest snowflake
and the beauty,
like on a microscopic level, the order of God that was there. I mean, how does that not draw you into a deep wonder? Like, what a gift to the world.
Yeah.
Who knows how many people were brought to a greater conversion through looking at his photographs. In the same way, looking at art, like we can look at art, guys, and be like, what's the purpose of art and everything? And but I don't know, but yet we still love it and we still look at it and we still go to museums and it does something to us.
Yeah.
It changes us, and it changes us for the better.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple of questions to leave with you guys, just as you're starting to contemplate your interest, is, you know, like, can I glorify God through this? Is this bringing me to contemplate God more? But also, like, what is God speaking to me through this particular interest? What truth is being revealed? What beauty about him is being revealed? What goodness about him is being revealed to me through this interest? And I mean, guys, I've said this a couple of times too throughout this. Giving yourself that gift of play or recreation or rejuvenation is enough. Mm-hmm. We don't do that. Like as adults, we just don't. We don't allow for a time of interests. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I really truly interested in? But I think you'd be shocked when you kind of give yourself that permission to like what you like and to bring that to the Lord, like what he would do with it. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's changed my life.
Yeah. And I love the question also. We had this recently in our Lenten challenge that we did. It's like, how can you create more space in your day to engage in your interests?
Mm.
Just a little bit more.
Like and 5 minutes.
Yeah. And just be a student of that. I know I love good stories. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, guys, I never read fiction. And the reason why I never read fiction is because it just didn't have a practical application towards it. There again, like it was kind of, you know, it was indulgent.
Reading Lord of the Rings.
I was like, I can't. But I picked up Lord of the Rings finally. I had enough people and I'm really enjoying it. Like, and there's a part of me that's a little bit of a, I should be enjoying this, and I'm kind of just being conscious of that.
That's
like allowing myself to develop my own opinion, because there's some parts of the book that I'm like, okay, all right. Like, we just...
So many details.
All right, I don't need to know what this field looks like in this tree over here.
But just like, I'm glad that you bring that up, because this is an example of, like, Bill Dunahy from, like, the Theology of the Body Institute loved Lord of the Rings, like, mm-hmm. so much that he actually created a Theology of the Body course around yeah. Lord of the Rings. Like, you don't know yeah. what the Lord's going to do with this interest when you lean into it. And, yeah. like, I'm sure there were people who had major, like, just conversions, those conversions of heart on this course through that story, through one person's interest.
Well, and you know what? When I look at Bill, it's a moment of conversion looking at his childlike wonder.
Yeah.
Through it all. There's something that's just beautiful. And there's something about this, you guys, where like you get interested and you get all giddy and everything. And like there's something it's innocent and it's beautiful and it's doesn't need to have any sort of justification. It's just rejoicing in its own end.
Yeah.
Right. In a sense, it doesn't need any sort of justification. It's just it's beautiful. It's childlike. So mm-hmm. that's what I like too. I engage in my interests. They start to kind of bring that childlike
yes,
the nature play. Out of me too.
That yeah. playful side of you.
Cool. Yeah.
Anyway,
right.
permission to explore your interests.
Yes.
We've given you permission. Not like you were waiting for it, but we've extended that permission. It's changed our lives, like we said, and it might just change yours.
Yeah. So if you want to explore your interests a little bit more, certainly follow us here on the Catholic Coaching Podcast. Go ahead, subscribe, write us a little review as well. Always love the reviews. And guys, our academy, the Metanoia Catholic Academy, is a place to explore those interests.
With other people.
With other people that are interesting people.
Yeah, who have interests and might have same interests as you. That's cool, too. Yeah. Another thing I want to add in here, we have a Science of Discernment course coming out.
Yeah, pretty excited about that.
Where we really do explore this stuff, too. A lot of these pillars, these points of awareness mm-hmm. of the unique mission pillar. That's going to be great. And we not only teach you like practical ways to discern daily life and just through your desires and your intentions and everything like that, which we've heard so many people ask questions about, like, what does God want for me? But also, like, what do I even want? And how do I know it's good? And so we answer all those questions with practicality, with a lot of practical tools and skills. But also, this is the best part. Not only do you learn it for yourself, you also learn how to accompany others through it. So it's mm-hmm. a training. Like, you actually get all the resources and a mentorship type training alongside of that. So we get into active listening and just those basic mentorship accompaniment skills. Really excited about that. The reason why I'm bringing this up is we dive deep into what do you seek and what are your interests and so on and so forth. And so it just made me think of that.
Yeah.
That's coming out soon.
Cool. All right. But if you jump in the academy, you'll have all kinds of information on that. Join our, but yeah, just follow us here.
Yes.
Cool. All right, we'll see you next week.
Hey guys, if you liked what you learned here today, consider joining our academy, where you can take all these tools and learn how to apply them to your life.
Supremely practical stuff, and you get coached along the way in the process. You are not by yourself. We hope to see you in there.